You're with SBS Radio.
My talk was for racialised communities that experience racist policing, that to learn from the Aboriginal struggle, and that racism in Australia stems from Aboriginal people's experience. In order for us to address the racism that everyone else experiences, we have to address the racism that Aboriginal people experience. And I wanted to, yeah, really get across to everybody in the room that, you know, we've had Aboriginal people in almost, other than in leadership positions, but, you know, it's really difficult to get police forces and prisons to change on the ground. And so we discussed the ideas of, you know, abolition. And so there were some really good discussions around abolition by way of decolonisation. And I thought that was really, I think that was a really valuable conversation for people to understand. They were my points. And I talked a little bit about the Royal Commission into Black Deaths and Custody, and that, it's just an inquiry, another inquiry that the government know about and refuse to essentially take it up. And I wanted people to think about that.
The abolitionism, can you elaborate a little bit and tell us a little bit more about what is meant by abolitionism?
So, look, I'm not an expert on, the abolition movement, but it's really around organising communities to, I think, this is just my opinion, around organising communities to no longer need police or prisons, because prisons are just fundamentally racist and police are fundamentally racist. And so the abolition of them will realistically keep us safe. It's a long conversation, and there are, you know, there's a lot of literature, there's a lot of writing around it, and there's a lot of work that people have done in Victoria around abolition. It's not a new movement, and I'm certainly not an expert on it, but I think it's something that I align with. I align my politics. You know, Sharon Dev Singh, his points around the resistance Aboriginal people have maintained since the invasion of this country is very much an abolitionist movement, because Aboriginal people before colonisation didn't have prisons, we didn't have police, we didn't have mental hospitals, because our community was organised in such a way that we could respond and take care of each other. To think that our society before invasion cannot be organised in such a way and that that's not valid today is racist. Why isn't that way of organising our communities not valid today? So, really interesting conversations.
Currently, the communities that are coming up and are being highlighted as criminalized communities are the African communities. But before them, there were Europeans. We've had Lebanese and Vietnamese before them. But the indigenous communities have experienced this from day one of colonization till today.
And that was another really important point that was made. It's insulting to Aboriginal people to have that conversation, to say that every migrant group or every different nationality that's migrated to Australia or sought refuge here has copped their fair share. So this idea that African communities need to just sit tight and wait till their turn is over is offensive to us as Aboriginal people, because it's never stopped. But it's also falls in line with the assimilationist values of Australia. It's that if we assimilate and subscribe to the values of Australia, then we're somehow will be more valuable. That's deeply racist, that idea and that thinking that everybody's just got to cop their turn sweet and then they'll be fine. I think that's, I just hope that that's not really the thinking, because we've been experiencing this from day one. They've never let up on us.
Yeah.
We've always been public enemy number one. Yeah. And it doesn't matter which wave of migrant they hate next, it's always hating us equally as well, with the same intensity as from day one. Unless people start standing in solidarity with us, and that unless the anti-racist movement addresses settler colonialism, we're going to be here talking about the same thing as we've been talking about for many years. I think decolonization is a really important way forward for us to think about.
Within these groups of racialized, criminalized minorities, there are subgroups that suffer even more. In the talk, the youth were really up there talking about how they face it. And women, especially, you mentioned the role of First Nations women's struggle to put an end to this social scourge.
Yeah. Aboriginal women, particularly in Victoria and my family, and actually there's many other stories around the country that Aboriginal women have led the movement of taking care of country and kinship and community from day one. You know, they've passed that on to the younger Aboriginal women in our community. And yeah, so the matriarchal power that our community still has, I've never seen anything quite like it. And it's, although it is really hard for me to observe from the outside because I've been raised by Aboriginal women, it is true that Aboriginal women are the people that keep the resistance the strongest. And I'm not discounting the work of Aboriginal men, because there are Aboriginal men that, yes, it is true. I think the Aboriginal matriarchy is very strong in this country, and it's remained strong for this time beginning.
Yeah, because Sharon have mentioned very rightfully the role of Barangaroo. I know Barangaroo just through what I learned in stories told by other people. And yet Sharon have given another side of her story, which is that she was the first one to show resistance to colonization in a form
There was a story told, but I'm not 100% familiar with her story. So, I mean, I can't repeat it because I'm not 100% familiar with it. But from what I've heard, she maintained a strong resistance in herself, and that story is very similar around the country.
SBS.com.au.